Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to Trenton White Sports Radio here on Sunday. And there's a special significance of Sunday for me. Normally it's NFL talk for those who love the NFL, but as far as you're concerned, if you're a Ken West fan, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is going to be a blur. You're not going to really care. It's going to bug you all week to get to the game Friday at the Ralph. It's going to bug the players all week. It's going to bug even fans who are not fans of both teams who just want to see a good football game. It's going to be a blur. And when I say it's going to be a blur, you got to understand that Kenmore West, for the first time in 19 years, going to the Ralph to play the evil empire, Orchard Park, who's went there 20 times now. Kenmore West had to go through a long 12 months of thinking what it could have been. It could very easily be Ken West's second trip to the Ralph after losing with seconds left and only having Orchard Park drive 70 yards down the field to cut their dream short. But they wouldn't be denied this year. After sitting out of the top 10 for a total of 4 weeks, after looking up at Orchard Park and Lancaster and everyone else, Star Point, who was even a lower school, Ken West just kept doing their thing. And, of course, me having kids that play on the team, I had to be a little biased and let everyone know what was going to happen. And for those who stand with me on the top, watching the games, I said we're going to beat this team by 20 points. I didn't care how many times they blew out, guys. I didn't care about anything. I called it, and I was right, because I know football, and I know what I've seen in them. But nothing against the kids. The kids had a great season for Lancaster. Like them or not, they did very well. Lancaster did very well, and you got to give it to them. The second highest score in offense in Section 6, no problem. Second highest. Wasn't even a question. My concern was a bit that it might be a shootout. But when I went down the roster and went athlete for athlete, I gave the edge to Ken West. The hunger, I gave the edge to Ken West. And the chip on the shoulder for being disrespected and having Orchard Park run down the field on them, and then sitting the whole season having A schools ranked ahead of you, who you could beat by 3 or 4 touchdowns, who you beat the same opponents by a ton of scores, and then you had to sit and watch while you barely got ranked. Only to have Lancaster come to your house, very cocky, and not the kids, the fans. The kids kind of fed off that. Only to have the Lancaster fans come to your home, 3,000 strong at this game, and have Lancaster really expose what those fans really were all year. I'm going to get really into this at 8:30, but I got the kid coming on to talk some NFL, quickly hit on some NBA. But I will tell you this. When I say about Lancaster, it's pointed to the parents. I will not put Coach Dixon in this because he's a good guy. I know him personally. He's a very good coach. That's a good coaching staff. But for everyone who says, when you watch the news locally here in West New York and you hear about the problems in Buffalo, yes, there's shootings, there's killings, there's drug dealings. You get all that. I don't live there. I wouldn't want my kids around it. That's why I'm in Kenmore. People live out the Lancaster. They live out the Williamsville. Let's not forget this. Money will not buy you class. Ever. It will never buy you class. And for the parents of Lancaster to say the things to the Kenmore West kids, and let's be honest, why they said it. If it's Lockport, if it's Ken West, if it's Niagara Falls, whoever. It comes down to race, and I've been saying that for 2 or 3 years, and nobody wants to talk about it. Section 6 won't talk about it. It's really down to race unless if you're a Catholic school, you're exempt from that. It comes down to race, and it happens every year. And I must say, a large part of those fans from Lancaster are about the racist fans I ever seen and the most disgusting people I ever seen. And if I would have heard something close enough, I would have been in one of their faces. For all you guys who've been following me, I help kids, the scouting, the shows, even Coach Harris and I. Before I get the kid on, I must say this. I am no fan of Coach Harris and that coaching staff, but I must give it to him. For all you guys who don't know, me and him went to court. We superintendent, with the principal, with the vice principal, with the AD. I went to bat for these Ken West kids for years, only to have them have a moment like this. That's all. I wanted these kids to stop falling short. And I felt falling short sometimes because of the coaching. And me and him went to court, criminal court. It was that nasty. I won't go into detail. There's a respect there. I respect what he did. He did a good job. He deserved it. The coaching staff did a good job at Ken West. And for you guys who are listening, who are in Western New York, who are surprised to hear me say that, yes, I did say that. I'm man enough to admit it. This is all I wanted them to do. That's it. So we're going to talk a little bit about this in about 20 more minutes. I'm going to get the kid on right now. And kid, good football in high school. I tell you, I love watching high school football because it's the purest form of sports. High school basketball, too, and I'm going to get you on the road with me to cover some basketball games. It's pure. It's not tarnished by money. It's not tarnished by greed. It's just pure high school football. The kids are giving it 120%, and it comes out good. But talking about the rich guys, what do you say about the NFL today? I got the impression of this kid, the NFL is wide open. Except for the Patriots, there's no dominant team beside them. How do you see it?
Yeah, I see it the same exact way. It was such an exciting day for football today. There were so many different things that happened. Close games, field goal games, and then high-scoring games that we had with New Orleans and New York, and then a whole bunch of injuries that are just going to dictate the rest of the season. But you do not see any team pulling away except for the Patriots, and they showed it again this week of why they're the best team in the NFL.
Best team in the NFL, and you look at teams like the Raiders, who were the laughing stock and who are making progress. Look, this is how you build a team for the next following year. I mean, beating the Jets 34-20, that's a huge accomplishment. And I tell you, maybe because Geno Smith was in the game, but give it up to Oakland. They won the game and they're scoring points a lot better than what they looked last year. I picked them to win like 7 or 8 games this year, and they're building it right. I mean, they have a young quarterback, Carr. He's getting better. Makes you very upset when you look at the Bills situation, but you see Carr getting better, and you look around the whole league, and you see teams just competing, and you wish your team Buffalo would do that. But look, it's not over. The Bills aren't looking good. Wiley's on the hot seat. We called that here on this show. You and I called it last week. He's on the hot seat, and something's going to happen. I think if the Bills don't do well, it may be the end of Wiley. What do you think?
I think that, we can never count the Bills out because if you look at the playoff picture right now, they're only one game out of the playoffs with losing today, and the Steelers also lost today. So, everything that Bills fans wanted to happen this week happened. To the point of Oakland, their team looks very good. They're staying healthy, and they have a lot of young talent on that offense and on that defense. And their coach is real, and their players have bought into the coach's mindset. And it's good for football, and you see it with them, and then you also see it with Jacksonville. It's getting to that point where a lot of teams are just being competitive, and you cannot write any teams off except for – maybe Detroit this year, because I don't know what is happening in Detroit, but they are just imploding every chance they step on the football field. Every time something can go wrong, it does go wrong for Detroit. But other than that, you don't look at any team as what you just said, like a laughing stock of the NFL anymore.
Yeah, but you look at the Bills, and people are saying it's just state in England. Look, there's no excuse for that loss. But you look at the Bills, and you don't want to get yourself hyped up as Bills fans are. You know, me not being a Bills fan, I'm kind of right in the middle. I would like to see them win, but they haven't showed you anything really that's going to tell you that they're going to turn around. But they're scoring. If they weren't scoring, I'd be concerned, but they are scoring. What do you think the Bills have to do to keep up this momentum? Because, look, everyone else is stepping up. They got to step up, too. No more talking. Like I said, Rex got to stop talking. Get this team going and find an identity. I'll be honest, kid, I have no idea what their identity is. It's supposed to be defense, I guess. The defense stinks. The offense is putting up points, but it's finding a way to lose when it matters. And it's a tough thing to follow the Bills. So I advise all the fans, don't get pumped up. Just have no expectations. Just follow the team. And if they start looking good, slowly build up your enthusiasm. Do not come in next week all hyped up, thinking they're going to win, because the Bills have been known to let you down. But hopefully they'll pick it up. Kid, what do they got to do to keep up with the teams? Yes, Pittsburgh and them lost, but the Bills got to do their part. Do you see them get getting it done, and have they give you any confidence to even say on air that, you know, they're going to do it?
Well, I think return of Tyrod Taylor and the other offensive weapons we have will spark some kind of offensive push, but I can't be too optimistic. Like you said, the Bills always find a way to let their fans down, but it's getting to that point. We're starting to get healthy again. The return of Tyrod, I feel like, is what we've been missing, and if he can come back healthy and play at a high level like he was in the starting of the year, then I feel like we can just mesh back into the pack, because we have the next three games, which are divisional games, and if we win two out of those three games, if we lose to New England, then we lose to New England. But if we win against the Jets and the Dolphins, we could be sitting at 5-4 with, what is it, 3-2 division record.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
right.
we would be up there with the best of them, and we would be put ahead of the Jets. And I just feel like, if Tyrod can stay healthy, the defense can play consistent. That's what the defense is lacking. Sometimes they're just dominant, and sometimes it looks like they're just confusing themselves. But if the defense can stay consistent and play to their ability, then I feel like it's not over in Buffalo, and people shouldn't just write off this season like some are, like people who don't know football and the ignorant fans. But it's going to be a fun couple of weeks watching Bills football, because the enthusiastic fans can come back, and it's going to be a little bit different with Tyrod behind center, and we'll see what happens with him.
All right, guys, we're talking sports here with the kid, Brandon Freeman here, and I see a lot of phone calls coming in from different area codes, which tells me, I see the one from Texas, I see a few from Kentucky. I'm not really taking calls today, but if you do want to get on, call 646-915-9969. I may take your call. If you act like an idiot once you're gone, there's a delay, so no one's going to hear you. So don't think and hold for like an hour thinking I'm going to pick up, and it's only for you to say something stupid and ignorant. It's not going to happen. But you can call in, and I might take your call. But, kid, like you just said, I'm glad you brought it up. Tyrod. My thing with Tyrod is this. Has EJ really played bad enough not to play him? In my opinion, no. I don't think there's a big drop-off, to me, between Tyrod and EJ at this point in time. Yes, Tyrod won the few games, but like we both said a few weeks ago, that's not a lot. He's still in testing mode. I don't think EJ played bad enough, in my mind. Yes, he missed some passes. Tom Brady misses passes. Peyton Manning misses. Everyone misses passes in the NFL. But, to me, the Bills play Tyrod, I have no problem with it. But EJ didn't play bad enough, in my eyes, to be benched. I think it's still a competition ongoing. I think the Bills might want to make Tyrod their guy, but you can't really tell me, kid, that EJ did that bad to where he should be benched.
No, I don't think he did bad enough to be benched, but it's going to be simplified into one word, and that's confidence. And the confidence the team has in Tyrod is more than it has in EJ, and that's going to be the difference when it comes down to selecting their quarterback on Sunday. It's as simple as that.
I think you're right, but I tell you, if Tyrod loses this game, I'm just telling you, if he loses this game, hello controversy, because you still have a lot of EJ fans out there who say, look, he didn't do bad. And to me, honestly, yes, the team's more confident. They better win with him in there. If they don't win the next game, I'll give them two games. If they look sloppy, kid, is there a problem if you put EJ back in? What's the deal if you do? I don't think it's a big deal. It's a spark. He's not doing his job. Let's put EJ back in and see what he does. I still think it's a competition. I don't care how much Rex Ryan says about Tyrod and this and that, and that's probably his guy. To me, there's a competition. And if he wants to go down with Tyrod, and if Wiley wants to go down with Tyrod, go right ahead. But if he's not winning, someone's going to pay for it. And I don't know who it's going to be, but someone's going to pay. It's not going to be Rex because he's the coach first year. It's going to be Wiley. Now, they're making a big deal about Castle. Let me tell you something. Castle didn't look good today, but you had that experienced quarterback who did lead the Patriots to 11 wins one year. He was a starter in Kansas City. He's taking heat for that, and I think he rightly should. But do you think there's going to be a controversy if Tyrod comes in and loses and doesn't look good?
I think it won't be as much the controversy between fans. I think you'll still see the same amount of fans behind EJ. I think they'll always be behind EJ. But told you from the start, I think Rex is just tied to the hip with Tyrod, and it was apparent since the starting of training camp, if you really want to put it that far back, because you just felt, if I went to a couple training camps and you just felt like Tyrod was the one who was going to get the majority of the snaps and was going to start the season. So it was just the buzz in the air. It was the feeling at training camp. It's just what Rex wanted to do, and I feel like Rex will just go with Tyrod until he can't anymore. Now, whether or not Whaley takes that on his shoulders and he loses a job over it is soon to be decided, but Whaley was not the GM when EJ was drafted, and I think that's a huge point that people are missing. People are putting the Whaley blame because of the EJ failure, but it was Buddy Nix, and Buddy Nix escaped right after that, and then Whaley's been put on this. But if Tyrod does not pan out, this has been a couple years under Whaley. He's built a good defense. He's built good depth, but he still has that Buffalo curse and not found that quarterback. So I don't know how you keep him around.
Yeah, I'm just going to sit back and wait for this one, kid, because I know it's going to happen. Look, it happens around the NFL. I mean, sooner or later, you're going to have a situation to where you're going to hear down in Dallas, is going to be everywhere gets a controversy here and there. This situation's weird because Buffalo has never really had a quarterback, and it just blows my mind why fans can't just sit back and say, okay, we'll take whoever's the best quarterback out of these two. Let him play throughout the season. Whichever one looks better, we got to make a decision. We can't keep going back and forth, going to the draft, getting rid of this guy, trying to get a free agent, trying to get a bum that had success 10 years ago and thinking he can, you know, be sparked again here. Look, from what it looks like now, kid, it almost looks like they should have got rid of Fitzpatrick. If you want to really go deep into this, since Fitzpatrick, he was good enough. He got good. He was very limited, but he was a good quarterback and he was steady. They shouldn't have got rid of him because it hasn't got really better, has it?
No, it hasn't. And the problem, people put the problem on Fitzpatrick for those team's failures, but it was our defense. Our defense was below average by far when Fitzpatrick was playing. He was putting up 35 points a game. That's when we beat New England that one year. But our defense is the one losing us games. So, and you see what he was doing in New York before he got injured today. He had him at 4-2, and there's no arguing that. And it didn't seem like it was going to go down anymore. So I feel like Fitzpatrick could have thrived in this style of offense, and he probably could have been what we needed to at least be over 500 and possibly better than that. But it's just hard because you know that you had a quarterback like that and you just keep scrambling and scrambling to find that guy, and it just ends up hurting your team by waiting and waiting, just picking all these different quarterbacks.
Quick
until you
from
find
Jeff
right
here,
on.
Kid, for you. Got a question for you. Jeff wants to know, what do the Bills have to do to find a quarterback? He doesn't think either guy's the quarterback of the future. He wants to know, what do you think the Bills have to do after this season if you find out Tyrod's not really the guy, and if you're already sick of EJ, when do you start looking for a quarterback? Do you just, you know, get who you can get, move up? He wants to know, what do you do to get a quarterback, a franchise guy, and stop playing around with the Tyrods and the EJs?
You're going to have to draft one. You're going to have to draft maybe one or two and try to play them out. But you need to draft them high. You need to do your scouting all offseason about your quarterbacks. You need to find a guy who can command an offense and has a strong arm. I always believe it's not always the most accurate quarterbacks, but the ones who have the strongest arms. I feel like Elway was like that. He wasn't the most accurate, but he had a strong arm. Brett Favre was like that. Brett Favre has the most interceptions in NFL history, but he had that cannon of an arm. So I feel like it's more important to have a strong arm and a command of the huddle rather than precise and doing these dink and dunk passes. The only one that I really feel like that works for is Tom Brady, and you're not going to find a Tom Brady in the draft every year.
No, not at all. Not at all. So it's a tough thing, you know. I'm going to ask you a question, too. Do you have a problem with trading up by getting rid of a guy who's a star right now to get a quarterback? I have no problem with the Bills giving up someone of value, of very important value, to try to get a franchise quarterback. Look, let's be honest. A good quarterback can make an average receiver look good, can make an average anything look good. We could do that in Buffalo. We can get rid of a high-quality guy. You may pay for it early, but in the long run, if you can get a good quarterback, it'll pay dividends. Teams do it. I mean, if you had to come to that point, who would you put on the market if there's a quarterback sitting there and the team was willing to give that pick up for one of your top guys? Who would you give up?
That's tough. First off, I would need someone that I am completely 100% sold on. I would not try to give up a star player for someone that I have like 80% belief in. But if I were to trade anybody, I would probably I would probably put up one of our defensive linemen, whether it be Jerry Hughes or Mario Williams, but just to try to get that kind of value for him. But other than that, I need to be 100% sold on someone being the next Drew Brees or Peyton Manning.
I don't know, man. I don't know, man. There's going to be some decent quarterbacks coming out, not superstars. I think there's going to be a lot more guys in this draft, I feel, that are going to be guys that are going to stick around for a while and that will become decent, have the potential. I don't know, man. I think you can give up. I mean, it all depends. It all depends what a team wants. Look, a quarterback can take your franchise for 10-plus years, and you could be okay. You could always draft receivers. You know what I'm saying? You could always draft a running back. Yeah, some aren't going to be as good as others, but if you got a shot to grab, let's say, an Andrew Luck type guy sitting there, and you're the Bills, and I'm like, I don't know, the Colts or the Jets, and I say, hey, you know what? We like our quarterback. As good as this guy is, what are you going to give me for him? I don't know, man. I think everyone's on the market for a situation like that.
Yeah, I just don't think the value would be high enough as a wide receiver running back, because like you said, you can draft them all the time. So I feel like teams are now running more of a running back by committee. They have a lot of different running backs that they can plug in there to do well. And then receivers, you can also find, I mean, there's free agents all the time, but they're not free agent quarterbacks. So you would have to put in that blue chip player, the one that like anchors the defense, that is a game changer, like an Ndamukong Suh or a Mario Williams, and try to get your value out of that. But I'm just trying to be realistic and saying that I don't think that a team that has a top five pick with a quarterback that has high talent in the draft would trade it for a wide receiver and your pick.
All right, yeah, it makes sense. Quick NBA before we let you go at 8:30. You know what? I look at the Lakers, and I was so down on them. But I look at the roster, I tell you what, the Lakers aren't as bad on paper as I thought they were. I think they could make some damage. I mean, they're not going to win the conference. They may not make the playoffs, but I don't see them not fighting for an 8 seed. I mean, I hate to say it, but I kind of feel bad what I said about them. But if you look at them on paper, I mean, they're not that bad.
Yeah, I've been boasting up the Lakers, and I kind of feel bad because they're sitting at 0-2 right now. But I've been boasting up their roster. I think their roster is pretty solid and pretty deep for what they are. They just need more experience with their young point guard. But you look at it, Julius Randle hasn't really played, but he's still, you know, you got some kind of confidence in him, and he's got potential. And then you look at the team, he's learning from a Roy Hibbert, who's a tree in the middle, and then you always have Kobe, and their team is just deep. You got players off the bench like Brandon Bass and Lou Williams, which Lou Williams is one of the best bench players in the league. So I can see them fighting for an AC. I don't think they'll make it to the playoffs, but they are a very talented team and can make some noise at the bottom of that, because I don't really see anybody that's a solid block at the bottom of the Western Conference.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I'm watching Miami, update on Miami and Houston. Not sure they won the game yet, but I look at Miami. I tell you what, even without LeBron, I mean, they're 1-1. They just beat the Rockets, who are 0-2. They beat the Rockets 99-84. It's very early. The NBA is one organization where you could start out slow and still do some damage. But I tell you, I look at the Heat, and I don't think they're as bad as I thought they were, but it's early. It's early. But what do you think about the Heat? I mean, yes, they were great when they were with LeBron, but what do you think about this team? Dwayne Wade is on his way out. You have a few guys who are stepping up. What do you think about the Heat right now?
I think they got better this past season because of the addition of Justice Winslow and Gerald Green, which I've always loved Gerald Green's game. He's always been really good when it comes down to giving you the bench minutes that he does. But, Dwayne Wade is still playing at a consistent level, putting you up 15 to 25 points a game. But Whiteside, Dang, I mean, I don't really see a flaw in their game. I don't see, like, one spot that you can be like, oh, I can attack it. Because Whiteside has been the center that they've been missing. I mean, they tried to plug in Anderson there a couple of years ago, and in the playoffs at times. But I feel like Whiteside is the better center that you want playing in that middle with a guy like Dwayne Wade or Goran Dragic.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. You know, he has played really good. And, you know, I think the Heat are going to probably be fighting for an 8 seed, but it is the East. I think they make the playoffs. I don't know how far they get, but the East is so weak. They have as good a shot as anyone to play the Cavaliers. But as of right now, you know, it's still early. But I will say this. Early or not, watch out for the Thunder. They're 2-0, and Durant's back. And, boy, you could tell they're running on all cylinders right now. And I think they're going to go through the West. I want to see them against, you know, the top teams in the West. But guess what? I think they're back. I think there's a chip on the shoulder. And they may represent the West. As much as I like the Spurs, they may represent the West. You got Golden State there. I'm telling you, as of right now, early, a healthy Thunder team, I got to put in the top two in the West if they're healthy. Who's going to really stop Westbrook? You got Durant. Ibaka's playing nice. You got a nice core in that freaking organization. And I tell you right now, everyone's going for Golden State. Golden State's going to be there. The Clippers are going to be there. The Spurs are going to be there. I think I'm making my pick early. I'm going with the Thunder if they're healthy.
Yeah, the Thunder are a scary team, and I just think it's like the same thing that you have to put on Golden State. I feel like they're similar teams because they're very streaky teams. Maybe not Golden State as much, but they're both streaky teams with their shooting, and when they're on, there's no stopping them. And so far, it seems like they have that chemistry back between Durant and Westbrook. But I just want to ask you something. Take them to the finals. Do you see Durant leaving after this year?
I think so, and I think I think business-wise, if you were with the Thunder, you almost have to let him shop around. Someone's going to get him because it's going to be impossible, I feel. I mean, look, you could do it, but you'll be pulling the Miami Heat. You're paying big money for Ibaka, big money for Westbrook, big money for Durant, and you better hope to God your bench players are good enough, like the Miami Heat did with Wade, Bosch, and James. They'll put themselves in that situation. The Heat got away with it, but I don't know if you can keep doing that these days. How many Ray Allens are around to come in and take less money? I don't think, as a business sense, I don't think I would do it after seeing what the Heat went through and how they hoped and prayed some of these role players would step up. They don't have I guess you could say they got a Chalmers type there, but it's tough. It's tough. I mean, I don't think I would do it. Would you do it? I wouldn't, because I thought the Heat got very lucky, as good as they were. They got very lucky at times to have the right role players on the bench who are willing to sacrifice money and time just to be on a winning team. Maybe you'll find that again. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I don't feel I agree with you. I don't feel like OKC has a draw factor that Miami did back when LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh were together. I feel like it was a lot easier to take a pay cut and go play with the best player on the planet rather than Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, who are going to try to do it by themselves.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
I agree with you, and I think that even if they do make it to the finals, that Durant won't be in a Thunder jersey next year.
My question to you is, though, and my question I'm asking myself also is, I keep saying he's going to the Wizards because he's a DC guy, but, you know, you never know. I mean, there's going to be a lot of movement, I feel, this offseason. Even though the season just started, a lot of movement's going to happen. And I think what you're going to see is a lot of star guys move around. You have a bunch of aging stars, Pierce and them, who might have the last year coming up. There's going to be, I think this offseason, there's going to be a turnover of talent. You're going to have an aging LeBron. You're going to have a Westbrook, who I think by next year, I think he may, along with a few other guys, may become the face of the NBA. I think you're going to start seeing a transfer of talent and who the NBA hooks their saddles to. Durant's going to be the guy. I mean, look, you have Chris Paul in them, but they're a year older, and I think you're going to start seeing new guys step up. And, I mean, I think it's a trend. I don't know if you know, tell me if I'm wrong. I think after this season, it's going to be kind of a transformation of the league and who the main guys are. Look, LeBron's great. He can't keep doing this forever. He's getting older. He has a lot of miles on his legs. This may be the first year. Look, he's never really had an injury, and he's been lucky. It started last year when he had back issues, and he had a two-week rest. That tells me, as good as he is, he's starting to go down the hill a little bit. And it's only natural. He still grades the best player on the planet, but he can't go like he used to with Miami. And I think you're going to start seeing more guys step in. My only issue is I hope the NCAA does something to stop these one-and-dones because it's going to hurt the league overall down the road.
Yeah, Westbrook will definitely be up there for the throne of the NBA because I agree with LeBron aging. You can definitely tell it this year. He's not playing at the level that you're used to watching him play. And speaking of this offseason, I feel like this will probably be the biggest transfer of stars that you'll probably ever see. I feel like a lot of teams are going to try to shop people towards the deadline. I feel like a lot of big-name players are on contract talks, and if they don't get the right contract, they may be out the door. So this next offseason, I mean, I can't believe we're talking about next offseason, but it may be as exciting as it gets that I've ever watched in any kind of sport history because of how many players will be leaving their teams that I project to be leaving their teams.
Before I let you go, I think it's a big year. Kobe's last year, Tim Duncan, Ginobili. I mean, dude, you get a lot of stars. Hall of Famers will be leaving. That's why I said this is going to be a transfer year of stars. People don't realize, people who are real basketball fans understand who's on their last leg. You're going to see Paul Pierce. I mean, Garnett might be on his way. Look, you have at least 10 guys who are the face of the NBA who are Hall of Famers that might be leaving, if you think about it. That might be going this year. Look, Kobe's done. I watched Kobe. God, it's so tough to watch him because I like seeing Kobe fly above the rim. You don't see it no more. It's a totally different Kobe. He had a breakaway once, I think, and he laid it up, and I'm like, oh, I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Like, oh,
yeah.
Here we go. You know, Kobe's on his last leg. When you see guys do that, you're like, oh, come on, man. So before I let you go, your final thoughts on that comment right there. It's tough, but you see a lot of guys leaving, man.
Yeah, I see a lot of guys retiring. I see people from Kobe to KG to, I mean, Paul Pierce, like you mentioned, all of them. There's also, I don't know how much Dirk he's got left because he's been declining ever since his finals appearance. And that team is now built to be more of a well-rounded team rather than Dirk's team that we've known it to be since, I mean, the early 2000s. So you see him, he's not performing at his high level. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be different seeing all these stars just, I mean, quote-unquote, exit the NBA, and it's going to be hard to watch next year because these iconic players that I grew up watching aren't going to be playing anymore, and it's different. You look at – there's going to be no big three from Boston in the NBA, I don't think, anymore next year, and that's different for me because I grew up Giant fans of all three of them.
Yeah, it's sad, man, but that's sports, and you hope the young guys can come up and, play the – I tell you right now, the guys who come up, the game we're used to seeing isn't going to be there no more. I think it's becoming street ball, and look, I like it short term. As far as the NBA's image, look, they got to start keeping these kids in college. We're going to have another discussion on this, have a debate on this with some guys. I am 100% for the guys staying at least, I said, as high as three. Look, freedom of you know, making your money, doing what you want to do. But if you're getting a free education, getting a scholarship, and you're required to stay 3 years, I see no problem with that because they come in the league better. Tim Duncan is a prime example. Not everyone's LeBron. Not everyone's KG, Kobe. At least 2 years is all I'm saying. Three, okay, whatever. But one and done, straight from high school, I get it. But I don't know, man. Everyone sees LeBron and those guys, and they want to do it. And the NBA takes them, and if they don't make it, you don't hear about them because they're in the D-League or overseas. But, all right, kid, you know, your final thoughts on that again, and then I'll let you go. I know you're a busy guy.
Yeah, I think they have to just take after what the NCAA does for football and having a requirement of how long they have to stay in school before they can declare eligibility for the draft. But it would definitely be nice to see kids stay in school and not put so much wear on their body from being 20, 19 years old, 18 years old, and coming straight into the NBA and facing these veterans that are 30-plus years old and just getting beat up. So it would definitely be good for the long term of the game, and hopefully they do get that squared away because or else we're just going to keep on seeing this, as you said, turnover of talent, and it's just going to be frustrating to watch because there's going to be no consistency. But, yeah, it's It's going to be an exciting season still this year, and I'm definitely looking forward to all of it.
All right, kid. Look, thanks for coming on. We're going to catch you again. William could not come on with us. We're going to try to set it up again, have a nice roundtable on the NBA. We'll talk some NFL, but this will be definitely NBA roundtable on the state of the league and what we're seeing coming in and what's going out and who might be leaving and who's the best guy, who's the first-round Hall of Famer. It's going to be a number of topics we're going to hit on. But, kid, thanks for coming on, and good stuff, man. I didn't forget your NBA show. We just got to hook up one time, and I'll show you how to work the system, and you can start rolling, man.
Yeah, most definitely. And then I'm excited to hear about, because I'll continue to listen, but to hear about this high school football talk show that you're going to be doing right now. So definitely excited to listen about that.
All right, man.
Yep.
That is the kid. You know, I'm good at finding talent for the radio. God knows this stuff. NBA guys, you finally got a guy that's going to talk NBA. It's not just me by myself now. We're going to have NBA talk this week, roundtable. And let's get to the dirty part of my show. For Coca-Cola, my sponsors, Paulo's, and all you guys, look, when you signed up with me, you knew what it's going to be like. You know I'm not going to hold any punches. You know how this show is. It's not a GR show. It's not one of them corny shows. And by the way, speaking of corny, I'm going to say this right now. Above the 300 level, below whatever the hell your name is, listen, you're no one. Don't you ever in your life, ever, try to insult or talk down to the Buffalo Water Cooler / TW Media and Scouting Services ever. Ever. I've done more for this area and kids than you could think of. All you're doing is copying stuff that I've been doing already and everyone else. Don't try to contact me now to say you apologize because I'm going to roast you from here on. Big mistake. Nice guy, would do anything for you. Try to insult my show not knowing who you're insulting and then want to change it up when you find out who it is, a little bit too late. Apologies not accepted or taken when it comes to me, my staff, or what I do. Forget about it. It's over. I will continue to hammer you when I choose, when I feel like it. I'll continue to hammer you in public and make you feel uncomfortable no matter what a sporting event you're at ever. Channel 2 knows about it. Everyone knows about it. No one's going to say nothing. They probably warned you Trent's not the guy. Well, you messed up. You're probably trying to be funny. I'm not laughing at all. So continue doing what I've been doing with your 10,000 people working for you. Continue doing what you've been doing because you're doing stuff I've been doing for 4 years. You're doing stuff I've been doing. You're trying to freaking do something that I built a while ago. And I'm unique. And here's why I'm unique. You want to know why I'm unique? I have a diverse staff, number one. It's not all black. It's not all white. It's not all anything. It's a diverse staff, like the sports I cover. You insist on being like every other guy. There's 1,000 white guys doing sports here. I'm the only black sports owner guy doing sports. And I don't got to pay for anything. I don't got to kiss butt for anything because I won't. I'm going to run the show the way I want it, and guess what? It's been successful, even outside the state. So wrong guy to mess with. You're not worth my radio time now, so I'm going to let it go. But on Twitter that I just started using, as it grows, you're going to get hammered every time. And when you found out who I was, you want to call me sir, too late. The die has been cast, and I will continue to lob bombs at you until I get sick of it, which can last for years because I hold grudges, and my grudges that are held are very dear to me, and I like grudges because the grudges I hold hard. You had never met a guy like me that could hold a grudge. And when I hold a grudge, it's a grudge that I'm going to hold even on my nicest day. If you and I were drowning in the ocean and there was a life jacket, two of them, I would take the other one from you and put it for myself and let you drown just because of what you did 10 years ago. Speaking of grudges, I developed one Saturday at about 3 o'clock because Lancaster, for as much as you flaunt your dough, as much as you flaunt everything, that you're a great area, as much as you flaunt that your kids are better and your kids are this, your kids are that, big mistake. Big mistake because I have very good hearing. And see, when I stand there, I hear the crowd cheering, but I can hear your squeaky voices across the field. Because you're yelling thinking you're insulting someone, but you're yelling, and my ears are like satellites picking up what you're saying, and I can pretty much pinpoint who's saying it. Like the big fat lady with the sunglasses on, with the brown hair and the hoodie that look like trailer trash, yelling stuff across the field. Yeah, I heard you. And with my good eagle eyesight, I've seen enough of you to see you took up two aisles of the bleachers, and then you had your little birds around you chirping stuff too. Let me tell you something right now. When it comes to kids in high school football, I gave all the respect to Lancaster when he came into that game. I said they had a good season. I said if Ken West doesn't play the good enough game, they're going to get blown out. And you guys had enough firepower to do it. I don't care how bad Ultra Park beat you. I didn't care how close Lockport came to almost beating you. I didn't care about that. I talked to Section 6 commissioners. I was standing right there talking to them. I said, hey, let's just have a good game. This is what it's all about. The kids made it here. Let them finish it. The refs were great. I've been hammering the refs all year. The refs were great. I'm going to tell you this. Ken West's parents, from the time my boys were on modified, I've been watching varsity games, and there's been some disappointments there. For all the losing close games, in a few bad seasons, the Ken West fans never yelled things at the opposing players' kid, ever. Call a few Buffalo games. Some in the ghetto. And the Buffalo fans, the city kids, as you call them, I never heard their parents really yell nothing at the kids. Derogatory? Racist? Just inflammatory remarks. And for Lancaster, you're a bunch of scumbags. You don't like it? I'll come out there. Don't matter. You're scumbags. I said it on my show. For all you fans who came, not all of you, some of you show respect. And if you were scumbags, you kept your mouth shut. But for the large part of you, who has something to say about the black kids on the Ken West team, who thinks the kids who are on our team are white trash and their parents are white trash, you're far from wrong. We don't want anyone ghetto out there. We don't want that street stuff out there in Kenmore. That's why we're there. We thought we were on the same playing field. But no. The one difference is Ken West sports a lot of black athletes who are good, who happen to be better than your kids. We may lose to Orchard Park. We don't care. The kids made it there. They'll play hard. We're going to support them, just like Orchard Park is going to support their kids. And the one thing I will say, even the Orchard Park first game, the things they were yelling, scumbags, the fans. Why do white teams in the South seem to be so racist? Let's call it like it is. The things they say, the parents, oh, we don't have those kind of kids. What kind of kids? The Fords? The Whites, the Lynches, the Taylors, the Walkers, is that what it is? Those kind of kids got to get the same grades. Those kind of kids got to work hard. Those kind of kids got to put in the time to get better, just like your kids. Just so happened Ken West had a chip on his shoulder. They lost last year, guys. We beat you in the first round by 30, if 20 or 30, and we had Ultra Park beat. The team didn't forget that. They were driven. Yes, they lost the first game to Ultra Park, but continued to dismantle every team week after week after week. And when it came time for your dismantlement, you were dismantled. Period. The Buffalo News, even Channel 2 at times. Ken West, out of the top 10 for at least 3 weeks. Little teams like Star Point, A teams, ahead of us. And then when you put them in the top 10, you almost felt guilty because you had to because they weren't losing. Well, guess what? The frauds were shown Will North was ranked ahead of us. They got beat convincingly. They were dismantled. And look, we may get dismantled by the evil empire. But the evil empire, which is Orchard Park, is going to have a game on his hands. Ken West is on fire. They may lose, but they'll go down fighting. But it's going to be a different game. But for you parents, you didn't deserve to go anywhere but back in your car and back to Lancaster in whatever home you live in. Because for all your racist remarks, for all your inflammatory remarks towards the kids, the people of Kenmore, you're going home. So it didn't really matter. No place for that. No place at all for what you said. Why are y'all going to black kids? And I've been saying this for a long time. For all the whites listening to my show, let me explain something to you right now. You're surprised to hear that stuff as an African-American, as the kids on that team who are African-American, or mulatto, whatever, they hear it all the time. Welcome to the world of being a non-white person in Western New York. See, they'll keep their mouth shut until you beat their white boys on the field or on the court, and then the racism comes out. And then if you're a white kid, like the Jay Taylors, the Charlie Mills, the Xaviers, and everyone else, you're put into that same boat. Now, you're white trash. That's how it works. Ken West is the most diverse team in Section 6. Lockport's up there, too. And yet, these poor kids who work hard, who just were straight up better than the rich boys, the whites always have racism to fall back on, and they show their true colors. But guess what? The white fans at Ken West took serious offense to that. Serious offense. I love seeing that because it goes to show that not every white person is racist. But it goes to show it depends on where the white person's from. You have a lot of Buffalo City teachers whose kids go to Ken West. You have a lot of parents, Caucasian parents, who have kids who went with the black kids since kindergarten, became friends, slept at their houses. They don't see color. You have some elements of Kenmore who feel that way. But when you think about it, that's the world, man. If you play football, be used to playing, possibly, with black guys, with Puerto Rican guys, with everybody. A football team is diverse. And it's a darn shame when you play a team like Lancaster and everyone else where there's not many chances for diversity. The kids are taught the races. Remarks. Even the kids on the field. A pure representation of their parents. Pulling off helmets when they start losing. What classless athletes, student athletes, Lancaster possesses. Pulling off a player's helmet. My kid got punched in the sack. Racial slurs, talking trash. When they started losing, it shows the real character of that team. But that's not a reflection of Coach Dixon. And if it is, I'll be shocked, but I doubt it because he's a good guy and that coaching staff is a good coaching staff. And I don't think for a minute that he told those kids to say that. I think the parents did. I think the kids look at their parents and they copy what the parents taught them since they were 5 years old. And I'm going to say it on my show, the word nigger don't come out just for the hell of it. Those kind of kids, come on, who are you talking about? They were walking out, not disappointed, pure disgust. What did I do? I went to every one of those Lancaster kids, told them to keep their heads up, you had a great season. Every one of the kids I could smack up in the hands, I did. Because it's only a game. But I want them to know this, because I know they heard some of the racist stuff coming from the fans. I want them to see my face as a black guy telling them, good game. So now, hopefully, I put up that little fire that their parents put in to their minds because they were losing. I even smacked up the kids who got kicked out, who were getting penalties, personal fouls. That's what you call a teachable moment for kids. The parents put one thing in. They talk about what I am to these kids, but yet the same thing they talk about me, the blacks. A black guy comes up to him, and I even told a few kids, hey, I'm going to call your coach. I'm going to try to get you into school. You're a good player. I just diffused, hopefully, what the parents put in their minds. I diffused it. Some won't care. Terrell Ford had a great game. He's a good football player. Probably one of the best you've seen, but yet, of course, remarks come out about him. Oh, I heard some nasty things. People told me some nasty things they said. Very shocked. Ultra Park, their fans can get nasty too. Let's be honest. Those kids last first game were saying some nasty things. Why are you calling guys scumbags? The AD said nothing. I would have had a lot of respect if the announcer got on the announcer and say, look, no disrespect to the kids. They say before the game, no derogatory comments towards the players or anybody, but Ultra Park does it. Their fan base does it. Their kids do it. But Lancaster took the cake. You're scumbags. As far as I'm concerned, you'll be scumbags until I see different. You're sore losers. You beat up on teams. Let's break down your season now, parents. And I don't care who this falls on now, because you know what? It's fact. You had a good season, but you beat up some bad teams. You went to Ohio and got walloped, 77-6. You almost lost to Lockport, who had athletes. You came back and won. You're pumped up. You feel confident. Who knows what the parents are saying to these kids? You come to Ken West. You score the first play of the game. And then we methodically drive it down the field again. And then the play of the moment, the play that's going to stay with Ken West forever, no matter what happens this Friday, the play that will stay with Ken West forever is the goal line stand. Yeah, two of them. But the goal line stand after the block punt. The highest scoring team, second highest scoring team in section six, stopped three times. Excuse me, four times on the 1 yard line. That is the moment that Ken West should put in a gold statue in the gym. Moment of the game. Yes, Terrell had a great moment. But the moment of the game is when the defense stopped this high-scoring team. This high-scoring team on the 1 yard line. I think everyone needs to appreciate what they've seen. That was phenomenal. That was one of the best football stands I've ever seen. Might have changed the momentum of the game. Maybe not. But it was a great moment. Think about it, guys. That was a goal line stand. And you know what? That had Rich Harris written all over it. He'll never forget that one. Ever. He'll never forget that. No matter what happens this Friday, I take away that and the way this team wanted to fight. This team was refusing to lose. Lancaster almost had to come in here and play perfect. And look, let's be honest. That was a good offense. It wasn't Ultra Park, but it was close enough. They moved the ball around. They did some very good things. And I won't take that away. But I'll take away the parents. I have no respect for Lancaster. And on one of these shows, I'm going to try to call, I don't know, let's call the local paper in Lancaster. I'm sure they have a Lancaster B like the Kenmore B, and I'm going to question them and say why they're not talking about it. Oh, this isn't over. I'm just getting started. That was so ugly, and I felt so bad for the kids. It was ugly. Very ugly. And oh boy, if you thought it's over, no it's not. You guys know how I operate. This is the last time a suburb gets away with their racist remarks and no one talks about it. It's going to be talked about by me, and it's going to be spread around by me until someone talks about it. I think it's time we talk about the racism in Western New York, because there's a ton of it. There's a ton of it, and maybe I'm the outsider who wasn't born here and wasn't raised here from Southern PA. Who's going to talk about it? Because it's hidden very well up here until the kids play football or basketball. Then you hear it. About North Tonawanda. That's very bad. Kids get away with that all the time. And the parents. North Tonawanda is real bad when it comes to that. A lot of racism. And I think West New York needs to do something about it. If not, I'll be the guy. Why not? I'll be the guy. See, no one else is going to do it. Why not? I'll do it. because that was pretty disgusting yesterday. And like I said again, as far as the coaching staff, I don't put this on the coaching staff, and I hope they're not like that. Some of the coaches had some nice things to say. They hope we beat Orchard Park. But they were devastated. Look, we've been there before. Ken West has been there. So, Lancaster, we know your pain. But not once have we yelled out anything about those kids, ever. No one. I mean, people were amazed that we're going there. When you think about it, these kids were hungry. They were excited. That winning, that loss in Orchard Park the first game of the season could have wrecked their whole season, but it didn't. It didn't. And little did we know we'd be meeting Lancaster. And believe it or not, that was a huge game. 3,000 people there, that was a big game, guys. It's a big game because it was pretty much, let's just call it what it was. It was a game of the different classes of people. You had the predominantly white money Lancaster against the village / city of Kenmore. Very small area. That's what it was. And for what I'm thinking, that's probably why they're ranked ahead of us all year. Because it wasn't because of football. There's a little bit more to it. And, you know, I'm going to search to find out what that little bit is because I'm so sick of it. So sick of it. Look, Ken West is mostly a white area. But they understand that Ken West almost wants to be diverse to an extent. If you're going to be non-white, they just say, come here, do your work in school, be respectable, and you're cool. Don't come here and think you're hanging on the corner selling dope. It's not going to happen in Kenmore. It won't happen. It's a suburb that's willing to accept the fact that they're close to Buffalo and that people will cross over to get a better education and have a better area for their kids. That's all. There's some good people here. I admit it. I had run-ins with everybody. I think people respect me now. They understand who I am. But I had run-ins since my kids started playing sports here, way back in Modified. Run-ins. I can't fix everything, but I try. Appreciate the emails I'm getting. I'm going to call it short tonight. I did not want to call a short show tonight, but I had to. Got a few emails here about the Lancaster deal, what happened, this and that. And I'm not going to go over it again. You can hear the show later. But I will say this. Lancaster. Some of you guys are from Lancaster. We're going to hear this show and think what happened. And can't believe I'm saying this about your town, but I am. Can't believe I'm saying the things about the fans, the parents, but I am. Can't believe I'm saying things about the players. Not really saying anything about them, but how they acted, so I am. And the nerve of me to talk about this on air, and the nerve of me to do this when I know people are going to hear it. But I don't care. When it comes to defending what's right, I don't care. I have to answer to no one. So I speak for those people who have kids on the team of my son, and I understand their position, and they can't say certain things, so I speak for them what they really feel. Some of you agree. Some of you think I'm a total ass. But some of you know I'm an ass, but you can't do nothing about it. So, today was a real deal show. It bugged me all day. As happy as the kids were, they heard some of what the kids were saying. I mean, come on. The kids were ripping helmets off, punching people in the face, punching. We didn't respond. So all the people who say it's always the black kids and this and that, think about this. I'm going to give you one simple fact. Drugs are in the city. The fact is they're in the city. They're magnified the most because what do we like to do? We like to magnify and expose the people who have nothing. But in reality, the whites do just as many drugs. Your kids are out there having unprotected sex, sleeping with many girls, or vice versa, just like the city kids. They're smoking tree. They're taking acid. They're taking pills. In the city also, just like the suburbs, vice versa. But I'll tell you this. You don't see the guns and stuff in the suburbs like you do in the city because of this reason. Guns are mostly had by those in the city who have nothing, and that's the easy way to get something. Drugs. They sell drugs, most of the kids, who have no choice, who have no guidance, to get what you have out there. Doesn't mean your kids are better. It means your kids have access to more drugs, and they have access to more money. Some of those kids do work hard. They work at I don't know, McDonald's, they work at certain stores, or some of the parents are wealthy enough to accommodate their kids. But your kids have a chance and have a better upbringing than some of these city kids. Doesn't mean you're better. It means you're better prepared. But mistake me not. Your little kids in Lancaster, in East Aurora, in Clarence, they're doing drugs. And they're having sex. And the girls are having sex. And they're doing all these things that you think they're not doing because you went ignored and just point to the city kid and say, those are the bad ones. When in reality, a kid is a kid. No matter where they live, they do what kids do. Just the way it is. I would rather live in a diverse area any day than in all black, in all white, all Hispanic, whatever. I've seen both sides of it. Actually, I have a friend, very interesting story. I have a friend, Tom, who lives in Florida now. I'm convinced he's a skinhead Nazi. But guess what? When he calls me, we're still friends. I was friends with him before he became this guy. Still talks to me. He comes to Buffalo, who still sees me. Still my friend. Don't ask me how he maintains my friendship, because I was his friend before he ran into these guys. I respect him. Hey, that's what he wants to do, fine. He doesn't like me, fine. But Tom doesn't disrespect me or say anything derogatory around me. And I respect that. I can't control what people become. Never forget this, guys, in closing. I'll say this. Just got an email about an hour ago. You know, well, that's the way it is. Nah, it's not the way it is, and I'm going to tell you why. When you go to daycare, go to any daycare, look in there. You'll see kids 2-3 years old. Black, white, Chinese, Arab, Filipino, whatever. They're all playing. They're all running around. They're all laughing. They're all playing with their games. They don't see color. They see another little kid, and they want to play. So they want to play. As that kid gets older, the parents inject this racist BS. As children, they don't know color. A daycare has white, black, all types of color kids, and the kids don't care. The kids don't care. It's the parents, guys. Like Lancaster, it's the parents. You have a whole group of white kids in Lancaster, 40% will become or will have very extreme racist views among people who aren't like them because of what we heard Saturday. And we just heard that for 3 hours. Imagine what's being said behind closed doors or in their own groups. I'll say it now, and screw you guys who don't like it. Lancaster's a racist part of West New York, and there's a few more. But Lancaster, you're number one, just for what you said at these poor kids at the game. Sorry. But you are. Because if you weren't, you wouldn't say the things you said over a freaking football game. A football game. So until further notice, Lancaster, you are the most racist area in Western New York as of November 1st, 2015, 9:04 p.m. You're the biggest bunch of bigots. You're a disgusting, classless group of people. And I'm not painting the whole town of Lancaster, but for you large percent, you are. And if you don't like it, you can call me on my next show and debate this and explain yourself. If you're one of the parents who had nasty things to say about kids, 16, 17-year-old kids playing a football game, if you have a problem with that, we can talk about it. State your case. You're not going to apologize. You're too proud for that. Because you, for one moment, weren't thinking and thinking you're going to get away with it. But I heard you. Channel 2 won't call you on it. Buffalo News won't call you on it. And I don't give two craps who shouldn't be hearing this. And that's the other problem. Oh, so-and-so might hear it. Who cares? Lancaster, New York. You are the biggest racist bigots in Western New York. Until further notice. And I heard more of what you said. And that's why I'm saying that to you. So, set a better example for your kids, and stop this recycling of racism, please. It's getting on my nerves. It doesn't bug me as much. But when you say it to kids, it shows how much class you don't have. And as of right now, for a large part of the parents who are there, you're the classless bunch of parents I've ever seen. And all the money in the world, I don't care if you got $1 million in bank accounts, every dollar is a classless dollar owned by a classless person. And if you're classless, karma will hit you very quick. Guys, I got to go. Very busy, got to catch up on some sports, but thank you for listening. If you didn't hear the show, pass it on to your friend. I will be back on, and hopefully Lancaster and whoever else in New York can respond. And for all you other people around the country, thanks for listening. We'll get more on national on the national sports scene soon, but we'll be looking at Kenwood Ultra Park this Friday night at the Ralph at 8:30. We wish Ultra Park luck. Wish Ken West luck. Of course, Harris is a good coach. Coach Gene's a legendary coach who had Ultra Park to the Ralph for the 20th time. Good coach, honorable guy. Be glad to see him out there, talk to him for a little bit, and hopefully have a good football game without the BS we had against Lancaster. Take care, guys. Don't forget, follow me on Twitter at TW44. TW Media 44, like us on Facebook, Trenton White Sports. You guys have a great day. Any comments? I will post the show in a matter of seconds. Please leave comments under the show, and I'll get back to you on them. Take care, guys.